Subcommittee on Federal Affairs will come to order. We have two bills that we're going to consider today. House Bill 1074 and House Bill 1168.
What was the first one, Roger?
1074.
Oh, we need a few more bills, but...
On House Bill 1074, I'd like to first call our representative, Stephen.
I'll be right back. 1074, which book is it?
Black.
Should be in your black book.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Your black book under good bill.
Very good, thank you.
Catch up with you, Bill, just a minute.
Okay.
Good bill to be tabled.
You already done it with one of my good bills. You need to do it with this one. Different committee, though. Different team, Bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I will be brief. This bill has been introduced in the past two sessions, as well as being reintroduced this session. I have my same speech here, I just dusted off and put in a new number as the bill number changes. But the point that it makes is the same, and that purpose is to minimize the further growth of what can be called architectural barriers. I think you may recall that the House of Representatives has passed this measure in each of the last two sessions, but for one reason or another, the bill has died in the Senate. Hopefully, getting an early start, we'll be able to rectify that situation. Now, many members of the legislature are probably not fully aware of just what an architectural barrier is. And that's because most of us can step lightly over a curb, move up and down steps with no problem, or easily push open a door and move through its entrance. But many of us cannot. Nearly one person in seven in the United States has a permanent physical handicap. For these people, architectural barriers can be curbs, steps, doors too heavy or too narrow, handrails, alarm handles, water fountains and public telephones out of reach, elevators and restrooms that are too small. Now, it seems to me that most physically handicapped people neither want nor need sympathy. I think that what they do want simply is to be able to go about their business like anyone else, to be as independent as it is possible for him to be. This bill will help accomplish that objective regarding new and renovated construction of government buildings. As of the last session, 22 other states had passed similar legislation, as had the federal government. Gentlemen, it is time that Oregon also passed this type of legislation. And House Bill 1074 embodies that goal. Be happy to respond to any questions.
Questions, Representative Stephen. Bill, would this apply just to future constructed buildings, or would it apply to something else?
The way the bill is presently written, it would apply to future construction and future renovation. In other words, you wouldn't have to go back and do all the buildings that built or renovated in the past.
Yeah, but if we anticipate, what you're saying is if we anticipate spending any money for remodeling or building, then this has to be considered.
This would be part of the program. I might say, too, that I checked with the fire marshal, and I have a letter, although I do not have it with me, that he felt that he could do this type of of activity as required in the bill as it's written, with no additional funding problems, no ways and means implication at this point.
Very good.
Well, it affects old buildings to the extent that if there was some remodeling or some renovation, then...
Anywhere in the building?
No. The renovation, the extent to which the renovation was done, would be subject to the provisions of this bill, if it was applicable, is my understanding. Like, if you were going to paint the ceiling or tear out the ceiling, raise the ceiling, put new light fixtures in, it wouldn't apply. But if you were going to make a new entrance to the building, and if it was going to have, you know, steps instead of a ramp, then this would enter into the scope of the bill.
Did anyone ever testify against it?
Not to my knowledge.
Did you ever make any inquiry into why these things do Senate, or if the cost factor or intention to build? Did you go?
You mean during the last session?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. It, I don't have any clear reading on why the bill did not pass. I know some of the personalities who were involved in the defeat, and I don't know, I haven't discussed with them or plumbed their reasons for their feeling, but...
Is there a cost factor that scares somebody?
To my knowledge, there is no cost factor.
Bill, does this cover private building when being rented by government for use for a specific period? I'm referring to your definition of government building.
Yeah. It may well. I don't under this definition, it would. It would. Now, it's also my understanding, Mr. Chairman, I think you at least are aware of this, and perhaps the other members of the committee are too, that Mr. Pete with the Department of Employment is here, has some amendments to offer to the bill, and they have a definition of government building, which I think is a good one. It perhaps would be a better definition than the one that's in this bill.
Perhaps I should ask him to know. Maybe looking at small things. But I wonder about curbs. It's very seldom that the state has jurisdiction over curbs around a state building or a county around a county building. Are we prescribing to cut down on the curb and requiring ex-government to do it, who really has nothing to do with the camera? You can construct a building or remodel or whatever, and I'm assuming this says a drop in the curb, which I recognize is nice to have. Yet if it's 99% of the time it isn't state property, the state, I don't think, could do it. Or should I ask him?
Well, look, Mr. Chairman, I'd be glad to respond to that if I understand your question correctly. Are you referring now to leased buildings, is that it? And the,
well, I'm just, no, I just passed leased buildings, so I'll ask Nick about that. Somewhere in here it talks about curbs.
It sure does. It sure does, because this is the principal
barrier. But you're doing two things. I'm aware of that. You're doing two things. You're talking about the state government owning a building, and you're saying if they're going to build one, they're going to have curbs that allow ramp or something instead of curbs. But the state has no authority over those curbs. This is in the city, it's a city problem.
Well, this is
can,
true.
Can you do this under this?
My opinion, Mr. Chairman, and it's just my opinion, and I'm not an attorney, but it would be my opinion that a city or a county or a school district is just as subject to state law as a state is. I mean, you know, if the requirement...
What I'm saying is you're talking about one governmental entity building a building. Say it's a school district.
Right.
But the curbs, the streets, the parking strip along do not belong to that school district. So how can you require them to have a ramp on a curb when they have no control over that? Is this saying, and perhaps it's a legal question, that those people cannot get a building permit unless they show plans for that ramp curb?
No, I understand the question. That may not be a bad idea. That would certainly be in keeping with the purposes of the Act.
Well, my question, would the Act be valid without something like it, particularly a curve, or the adjacent property?
Good point.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, and I would like to just say that the amendments that are going to be offered are rather extensive. Some of them I agree with, some I do not. And I would like to be able to work with the committee and...
Super Chief Quantrick, you bet. May we have your thinking on the amendments?
I sure can.
In a day or two?
Sure can.
Thank you.
They're coming.
Oh, I was up past that.
Mr. Owen, well, there you go. Representative Owen.
Quick one.
questions for Representative Owen? Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Are there further witnesses on House Bill 1034? Nick Pete, pardon me.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm here representing Governor McCaul with proposed amendments to this bill. By way of background, we were in the process of preparing legislation that would be introduced at the request of the governor when this bill was reviewed, and the fact that this bill would do substantially the same thing in the sense that we were both channeling our efforts in that direction. Plus, a conference with the chairman of this committee indicated that it might be the better thing to amend this bill. With this in mind, amendments were prepared, and you have those now, although I have additional copies if you wish them. Basically,
excuse me,
yes, sir.
Are these
no, you have five copies with you.
I dropped off six in your office. I have three more.
Probably still in there. Could you see if we have some? Why don't you pass those up for the time being while we get the other ones out of the office?
Do you wish me to proceed, or do you want to wait?
Go ahead.
All right. The amendments that are proposed are not adversary-type amendments, but rather amendments designed to secure the best possible legislation that we can in this area. Vocational rehabilitation has a responsibility under Oregon law for this, and then, in addition, because of Public Law 90-480, passed by the 80th Congress and signed August 12, 1968. Any public building that uses federal funds, in part or completely federally financed, must remove architecture and barriers. This authorizes the Secretary of HEW to develop the regulations, and as the vocational rehabilitation arm of HEW at the state level, we are involved in that. Now, the bill itself and the amendments have been discussed with the state fire marshal. As indicated before, there is a letter, I have a copy of it with me, if you wish, indicating that the fire marshal is in support of the measure, and inasmuch as he does have a staff of individuals that review the plans now, for compliance with the fire marshal's existing regulations, it's his position that he could have his people review these for architectural barrier conformity at no extra cost, or if any at all, it would reflect. But at this point, he said he would not be in a position to say they would cost any more. One of the requirements, or one of the things that were in the amendment, is the creation of an advisory committee consisting of individuals who have knowledge in this area. In discussing this with the fire marshal, he felt this was an essential component, that while he had no problem carrying out the law, he would like to have another group develop the standards. I should also add, I believe at this time, that Vocational Rehabilitation is working with the Department of General Services. We are basically federally financed using Section 2 of the Vocational Rehabilitation Act. And we've proposed to the Executive Department that certain architectural barriers that now exist at the state level, in the library, the public service building, the Capitol building, the state office building in Salem, and the state office building in Portland, be removed. And we feel that there is a strong probability that there will be sufficient funds left over in our budget, which could be used for the removal of those barriers finding a class action, by this I mean that those buildings are of sufficient interest to the general handicapped public at large that we could undertake the cost. The cost estimates at this point prepared with the General Services Division are very, very low, much less than I had anticipated. But that, too, is in the offing, and we hope to have that, have some sort of action on that by June 30th. As far as the amendments are concerned, as I indicated, we're only interested in the best bill possible. With the governor's request that we submit these or admit to amend the existing bill, and of course any compromises that may appear appropriate, we're all in favor of and agreeable to this. There's no pride of authorship as such in the event. If you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer.
Chair. Representative Tim.
His amendment differs from mine.
I'm sorry?
His amendment differs from mine. His section 6.
I got to do it for that.
Yeah. And this is that. Well, this is the original
governor's bill.
You have the wrong set of documents, Chairman. There were two deliveries. The first one was a delivery for a bill that was to be introduced.
That
was
to be thrown away.
That was to be thrown away. And then, 2 days later, we submitted the amendment.
Now we'll go back to what we're saying. Now we'll go back.
You have the right one because
I'd ask you to think sometime, isn't there a better term than architectural barriers?
The architectural barriers are defined in that.
I know. That's defeated. There ought to be a progressive name for it. My question to Mr. Stevenson on definition of government building. Do you recall my question? Would this include structures that are rented for 6 months?
Yes.
It would.
Oh, 6 months?
Well, or a year. The state rents an awful lot of office facilities and other things on a short-term lease.
Any building used for general governmental purposes would be covered.
Well, it says constructed or purchased.
Or remodeled.
Yes, sir.
But
if you rent is not construct or purchase. It is rent.
If this is a weakness in the bill, then I would suggest it be amended.
What do you have to have another committee for this thing? Particularly.
Architectural barriers seem to mean all things to all people. As was found, I believe, in the Eugene effort and the Portland, you really don't realize what an architectural barrier is unless you're one who's facing these as an everyday basis. The Governor's Committee on Employing the Handicapped is the state counterpart from the President's Committee that co-sponsored the federal standards on the removal of architectural barriers. The Vocational Rehabilitation Division has a statutory function in this regard. There are others as well, and that committee provides input from individuals who are knowledgeable in the field. For example, two of the four public members must be individuals who require wheelchairs to ambulate. In discussing the matter with the fire marshal, it was his feeling that he could carry out the law, be no problem there. He could review the plans, but he would certainly want someone else to establish what a barrier was or wasn't. And this committee is designed to do that.
If you're going to give the fire marshal the power to give variances, whatever you call them, I'm looking at these amendments now. Section 4, sub 3 on page 3. Appears to let this advisory committee override the state fire marshal after they've held a hearing. Is that correct?
It could be. The fire marshal makes the decision based upon the standards. And this is an adjustment, shall we say, from the bill prepared by the Justice Department. That gave the executive department almost a clear right to overrule if it saw fit, or And in that draft, and that's all that was, we then changed it this way, so that in the case of a state agency, instead of the state agency appealing in its own right, the executive department could decide if an appeal was necessary, if there was a feeling that this really did in fact meet the standards. They would have the right to take it to the advisory committee. As this bill does place these under the Administrative Procedures Act, however, you do have another level of appeal. But in the case of the state agency, this would be their first level of appeal. Again,
well,
if you feel
the advisory committee
decided
that the state fire marshal was in error, is their order decision binding, or is it only sent back to the state fire marshal?
The way this is drawn, they would then have a hearing and render a decision pursuant to ORS 183, which is administrative.
What would be the effect of their decision?
They would set aside the ruling of the fire marshal. Or they could refer it back to
you. You have to do a job, but you've always got somebody hanging out in the air that refers to decisions that they don't like.
Chairman, I'm afraid that this is kind of the situation of all state agencies at all times.
Well, it may or may not be good, but I don't quite read that as an advisory commission, because they sure do more than just advise.
Yes, they advise on the standard, and this, as I said, was placed in this bill. It was lifted from the Justice Department version. It was your feeling that the advisory committee should be just that, and the regulatory body be the fire marshal with the next level court. I don't believe the executive department for our agency would have any objection.
Well, I have no feelings I'm going to talk to Mr. Stevens about. I'm merely asking.
This was simply meant to have an intermediate level without being that type of appeal.
On the same subject, Bill, your bill does not include an advisory committee, does it?
No, it doesn't. I think an advisory committee is a good idea, if I can just do an executive. But I'm concerned that the way the amendments are presented, as Representative Adams has suggested, that it would be going far beyond the scope of an advisory committee. And it wouldn't seem desirable, in my opinion, to do that.
At this juncture, I gave a copy of these, and perhaps I gave a copy of your proposed bill, and I guess you don't have the amendments that we're talking about, which are, I want him as the chief sponsor to look at these, perhaps set up some kind of a subcommittee to try to iron out the differences between the two, because it's the intention of the chair's intention. If we're going to pass legislation in this field, it's going to be House Bill 1074 amended to the satisfaction of both the sponsors and the committee. So we'll get to that further.
Mr. Howard. Throughout the building code, instead of an advisory committee, we call it an appeal board. We're working on the state building.
That really has a different function.
Well, this could be an appeal board from the appeal from the fire marshal's decision, and I think it would be more understandable to people that were in the construction industry. Then on your standards, if the fire marshal follows the American Standards Association for making buildings and facilities accessible to and usable by the physical handicapped, this is a very all government buildings follow this, so they have financial help from the government. I would think that this is pretty well drawn on a national standard of what the handicapped really need for all kinds of them. And I know, for instance, that it goes so far as the tile where part of hearing are involved. So I would think that if this was in here, your need for an advisory committee was minimized.
The reason that we inserted that the committee shall be knowledgeable of and take full consideration of these standards in preparing the standards for our HOA 6 as compared to saying that the standards of the American Association shall be binding. There are two factors. One is a question on my mind, and there are people with legal training can answer this far better. I'm not sure to what degree the legislature can delegate the rulemaking authority to an outside body over which it has no jurisdiction by saying the 3D standards shall apply. And second, the standards were drawn in 1961. As time goes on, unless those are kept current, and I would hope they would be, but they are 9 years old now. This would give the committee an opportunity to also inject some thought as to keeping those standards current where something might be falling by the wayside.
All other fire marshal bills, we give them that this shall be the minimum standard, and then that they can go above the minimum standard to, in setting up the standards, if you do have a board to, or an advisory committee or something else, they should have this, these American standards as minimum, and then go from there.
I have no question, no problems at all with those as the minimum. As you know, there is a standard criteria developed in 1968 by the Secretary of HEW, which are different than these. These will be 10 years old this fall. But as long as it's the minimum standard, I think it's better.
Further questions, Mr. P. Mr. Denmore. Mr. P., you talked about another advisory committee that has come up with suggestions, another governor's committee. Can't recall the name yet. Something about the
Governor's Employee of the Handicapped.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
Now, this group is, am I correct, is vitally interested in legislation like this?
Yes.
Could they be charged with the responsibility of developing the guidelines for the fire marshal? He have the responsibility then. I'm concerned, as I think some other members of the committee are, with just setting up committees for the sake of setting up committees. And in many cases, I think we're setting up departments, but not giving them the power to really do anything.
In that regard, while this perhaps could be done, and I think in this area, Representative Stevenson would be better able to perhaps testify than I am, in as much as he is a member of that. Historically, at least, the composition of the Governor's Committee has been selected for a different purpose. It was for employing the handicapped and having arms out into the industry sector for that purpose, as compared to having people particularly knowledgeable about barriers, construction, and this sort of thing. But I think you would have to change the makeup, and again, I think Representative Stevenson would be better able to speak to that.
Could that committee be redesigned and accomplish the same? So, this advisory committee, or?
Yeah, I'm thinking, Kent, the committee we've been talking about employing the handicapped,
be redesigned in such a way to accomplish the same goal and recommend the same thing without establishment of a separate committee.
Mm-hmm. Possibly, this is one of the things we could work out. The subcommittee when the amendments are considered in the bill. But go either way.
Further questions?
Thank you very much. We appreciate you testifying.
William Carey.
My name is William Carey. I'm the chairman of the legislative group for the Disabled American War Veterans. You have to be needing these necessities that we're applying for to really know the meaning of what you have to have. You find in many of your public buildings, the doors are too hard to open. There's no elevators. There's many places, curbs and gutters, this way crossings getting onto the street going into these federal buildings. But these curbs could have been left lower. That would have made it to benefit all disabled people. There's more than just the veterans, there's many other people that has the same problem. To go down a place that has an 8 or 10 inch curb and to try to get back on that sidewalk on the other side of the street is quite a problem. Now they have in many stores, for instance, that we go into, other than these are public buildings that have turnstiles to go through. And in the case of a fire or something there, these turnstiles could prove to be a terrible problem, even to a physical fellow that has all of his locomotion about him. Veterans and other disabled people, this thing of getting into seeing other people. If you want to see someone somewhere, well, you've got to have someone go upstairs to get the fella to bring him back. To bring the fella, bring someone to us. We would like to go to them ourselves. You know, to get second-handed information. This is what we have to contend with. Somebody said this or somebody said that. We don't really know. And we do feel that there's the opening of doors that may slam back and knock you down. And there's things that way that we have to contend with. The thing on the parking in here is the mighty important thing there too, gentlemen. That we have quite a problem if we go to come even here. We have to go so far before we can find. There should be some type of an emergency parking that would be, well, somebody could be, maybe if we had a chauffeur could bring us to someplace where they had a safe space for us to get in and off the vehicle. It would be a great thing. We do know that it's quite a problem to try to correct the buildings that's already built, but there's some of them that could stand a lot of remodeling that would benefit the disabled people. We have an illustration in Eugene there on the bottom of that old office building down on 6th Street, and they put the Veterans Hall or the Veterans Office. So the Lane County Veterans Service Officer is upstairs. There's no access to this for the fellas other than that we go into the lobby and they stand upstairs and get the fella and bring him down. Then we get either secondhand information, which might be stand a chance to be errant. And this is the general thing that happens to the disabled people. That we don't want someone that would feel sorry for someone. We want to go and do these things. We want to go up and be involved in doing things the same as anyone else. And we would like very much to see this come to pass to where this would be a benefit for all the disabled people. I thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate very much the effort that you put forth to come here.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Cassidy.
Chris Cassidy, representing the Rolling Gulf of Eugene. I'd just like to state that we're in backing of this bill. I feel it's a long time been needed. and even just getting in here to your Capitol building today really brought that forth, coming down here. And if you have any doubts about the music, I'll hop out and let you try and get out of this. This building is really a problem. It should be utilized here.
One, the back door is the only way that service ramp coming in.
That service ramp, and that's one deep ramp. Gonna have to find somebody to get me out of here.
That's really too steep for you.
Oh, that's way too steep even for a chair to hold traction on. It's just too steep. If anyone would like to try it, I'm willing to give it a go.
Well, I'll buy it. I'll wait for it. You can't hold traction on that ramp with those brakes.
It's not the brakes getting the traction with the tire. That ramp is just
going down.
Going down or up. Got to have someone on the back to slow you down. Thank you.
Appreciate very much your coming, Chris. If you have any problems, we'll make sure to help you get out.
We're a security guard.
Okay. They're strong.
Yes,
we have one other.
Another man here, but...
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Bill Haas, D.C. Yes, Darwin.
How do you spell your
name? A-K-W-E-N. I would like to respond on this comment made on the curbs around the building. Most buildings, public buildings especially, have areas, the Capitol building does here, where they have special parking areas for senators and for governors and for service trucks, things like that. And they have an area off the street that is curbed and paved, and these don't of necessity have to have curbs in all areas because they are off the street. They're part of the integral part of the building, and the contract is in construction, so it usually includes this area. One of the gentlemen spoke about on the street, and it isn't absolutely necessary. It would be desirable, certainly, that we have an area, well, if it's only 3 or 4 feet wide on the street that's curved. I mean, it's ramped over the curb so we can get up, but even if they just use your service areas in the back, like the hospitals, most all of them do, for their ambulance entrance and so forth, it would be accessible to us that way. But we do run into a problem there in finding some area where we can park an automobile, since that's the only means of transportation we have besides our wheelchairs in the near vicinity. What provision will be made for that? It's hopeful that something will be worked out along this line, because that is a necessity for all wheelchair people, along with having the architectural barriers in the building itself removed. Thank you.
Question for Mr. Hahn. Representative Danforn.
Mr. Hart, is there somewhere in talking about parking, where specifically? Building. Do you have a copy of the bill there?
Yes, I do.
Where are you speaking to a particular part of the bill when you're talking about parking specifications? Where am I finding it?
I did look up the bill a little while ago, and I didn't see anything specifically in the bill itself. This attendees I got from, done by Mrs. Powell, mentions it in section 3, but I had no specific area in mind, but as I said, it should be in the proximity of where the entrance way would be.
Well, if I read the bill now, when the other members can correct me,
I don't have all the receipts. I don't think I have I don't have a copy of the amendment to the bill.
It's in the amendment.
It's in the amendment.
Let's to this I don't have. And respond to your question, if you would repeat that one.
Well, I was just concerned that if we're concerned about parking and want to make this also available as part of the legislation, then it didn't occur to me to be in the bill any kind of jurisdiction. So I would want to make sure that that was approved.
I like, as I said, sir, I haven't seen the amendment, but it would be desirable if it could be worked in. Thank you.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you very much, Mr. John.
Thank you, sir.
Further testimony on House Bill 1074. If not, we'll end the hearing on 1074, and I will point Representative Dansmore,
would like you as a committee member to be in charge of the subcommittee to work on this. I'd like you to get together with Mr. Pete and Representative Stevenson, and let's see if we can combine these two to come up with language in one bill.
With no board and commission.
Right on.
Let's turn to House Bill 1168 is a bill we heard earlier from, has to do with creation of a women's correctional center and position of superintendent of the center. Well, let's have some testimony before we have a motion. If someone from corrections didn't sit here, that might testify. Superintendent of the Women's Center. At the time we heard the bill the first time, there was concern that we were creating another highly paid position, which would cost the state some more money. I talked to Mr. Reed about this, and I know that Representative Anderson has. Anderson, why don't you just briefly, what is the answer? Are we going to increase the budget of the department correctly?
Not at all. In fact, the present incumbent already carries the title of superintendent, which was created in 1966. This is cleaning up the statutes which refer to that position as one of matron. But she already has the title of superintendent and has had it since 66. She's already at the top of the salary range. There will not be one penny added to that as a result of this bill.
Question?
Why is the bill needed?
Beg pardon?
Why is the bill needed?
Well, this not only creates the position of superintendent, but it puts the Women's Center in an equal status relationship with the other institutions. That is, the prison and the correctional institution. Actually, administratively, she has been functioning in this role for some time. In fact, since January of a year ago. Prior to that, she served as what would amount to a supervisor within the adult prison system. This would bring the women into the picture and give them equal status as far as transfers and the functioning, the programming of the Women's Center.
Would that possibly put her at odds on policy making with, for example, the warden?
No more so than is present right now. No, sir. He's called superintendent.
Maybe we can ask him.
He's sitting right here.
He's calling out.
No, what they call you out in the yard?
No. What do they call you out in the yard?
Don't answer that.
Don't answer that.
You know, this bill, we would still provide all the necessary services for the women's division, but she would report directly to the Division of Corrections, which would allow me more time to take care of my nitty-gritty problems with the detention.
That's a great thing to do about this, though.
Mr. Galvin, I understand, said that he had had a long talk with her about this, Mr. Chairman.
Let me state the motion before we understand it. Find out how it's in effect. Representative Addison moves House Bill 1168 to the whole committee with a due pass recommendation. Now,
what did he say?
What was Representative Peck's response?
He said that I didn't say.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Gallagher thought he had a good understanding with her. I think, personally, I can't speak for Grace Peck, but I think she's in favor after she understood.
Following her statements of the other day, I think she would, because her whole complaint about the other bill, the law of transfer of women inmates to other institutions, was it would degrade the institution, and this is certainly an upgrade.
Very important. This is already being done. We're just bringing it up to date.
That's what bothers me about it. Every time the agencies keep bringing bills in here, because they're just housekeeping bills, just bringing up to date what we've already been doing, but they need a law to do it.
And we did that the other day when we passed that bill that Grace objected to, because they already sent a woman out of the state pen to another state, and we just were approving what they were doing.
For the discussion, there being none, the good-looking clerk will call the roll.
Representative Adams. Waiting for the good-looking clerk to call.
Oh, come on. Aye. Representative Dinsmore?
Aye.
Representative Howard?
Aye.
Representative Sturgeon?
No.
Representative White?
Aye.
So ordered. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate your spending part of your afternoon with us. Floyd, I hope it didn't take too much time away from the nitty gritty.
Get back and take care of that place, would it?
Is there further discussion or information or anything to come for the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Grace doesn't like this.
Whether she likes it?
No, I have
to. All right.
I will have some information on the sprinkler ordinances that I would like to sometimes give to the committee when
we're having a hearing.
Too many people are around to show what these guys said the other day in this room. You were here.
I missed you again. I missed that thing twice.
I'll show Jack Evans. He's the only one.
We stand adjourned.
That's our next two hours.